All right, we are recording.
Okay, this is the Executive Committee meeting of the Leon County Research and Development Authority, Wednesday, June 26, 2017, 3 p.m. We don't have any guests. We have staff and EC members. And here comes Krista.
I told you she was here, almost here.
We predicted.
I was on the phone with the reporter. There might be one or two things going on right now.
Commissioner, hey, we're recording just for your information.
It's quite all right. I got nothing. Yes.
I just want you to say that for the record.
Yes.
Jeff, we are not looking for you, are we?
Not at all. The reporters are calling all 12 commissioners right now. So I'm going to take my turn before sitting down with you all, so it didn't interrupt us.
Well, in terms of modifications to the agenda, I just want to say that I do plan to have some sort of conversation, or at least briefing from Ron about the inquiries that he has received.
And I was going to cover that under my report, but I also have two modifications.
Okay.
One, the Bing bankruptcy plan of reorganization.
Uh-huh.
We're going to need a decision from the Executive Committee on how to proceed with that. And then the item number 8, I'll need to pull. That contract is not ready yet.
Okay.
I'm close. I'll give you an update on where we're at, but I have no contract. Those are the only changes that I have.
Okay. So add Bing.
Yep.
And where do you want to do that?
We can do that first if you want.
Okay. And delete number 8.
Yep.
Okay.
We can do it after the approval of the minutes.
All right. Anything else in terms of modifications? Okay. Can I have what anybody thinks about the minutes?
I read them and they look to be appropriate, so I move approval.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Ron, why don't we go ahead and talk about Bing, which looks potentially complicated, but I hope it's not. I did actually.
It's as complicated as you want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that this is certainly a case where we've hired a lawyer, and I'm sure hope we can rely on him. So.
Yeah, we've spent about $20,000 already, and most of that $20,000 was just trying to get Bing out of the building. Okay, so basically where it's at is they have proposed this plan of reorganization. In that plan, we have an administrative claim that has priority over the unsecured in the amount of about $37,000.
Against what total outstanding debt?
Well, if you include that administrative claim and the other, which was, I think, 41, so about $78,000, not counting additional legal fees that we'll never see.
Yeah.
So we have the administrative claim, which is the $37,000, which is first to be paid out after whatever happens with the lien. So it gets paid once the final order is issued and within some reasonable period of time after that. The unsecured portion, the $41,000, we get a whopping 1% followed by another 4%, 1% at we'll call it closing, and then the other 4% I think over 3 years. Plus we get our pro rata share of 5% equity in the surviving company.
Unless Class 3 as a whole receives 5% of the equity, presumably pro rata. Just like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way mathematically to do it any other way. So, but the point to that is, and this is kind of the crux of all of this, which is their ongoing lawsuit. Well, that's the crux, is the ongoing lawsuit. Will they be able to make a recovery from that? Okay. And if so, what, you know, would we get as an equity participant, would we get some percentage of that? There's also another issue, which is, will they in fact be a going concern after the reorganization? And Eric has brought up the issue of the fact that they stayed in here, that they have the rights to the intellectual property, right? Do they actually mention licensing? I forget, but
they assert that they have rights to practice technologies, which they don't.
Right. So,
of course, they don't.
No.
So FSU would have to renegotiate the license deal with the surviving company, which is not assured. it's putting it mildly, I guess. But
well, Ron, this may be a little too bottom line, but in terms of budgeting, you know, will this factor into anything that we do anytime in the near future as an expected?
I mean, $37,000. Yes.
That'd be probably receivable.
I mean, yeah, that would, I mean, as soon as we could collect that, yes, we would.
Well, but that's sort of what I'm asking, and has anybody given you an idea of when that actually might be?
No, not have a specific date.
So I don't know how we budget it then. You know, it's like, no.
Well, I mean, if I know by late August, because I usually don't do the budget anymore until late August, early September for approval, 1st of October. So actually, anytime up until the 1st of October, we could account for that in the budget.
Well, I'm asking only because I read this and I didn't see anything that gave me an idea of when I thought we'd be getting that money.
Now, the hearing is July 20th, I think, on there, and so it just depends. And here's the kicker that I found out after this was our attorney said that the unsecured creditor committee had filed an application to get an attorney, basically, on behalf of the committee. And my understanding is that the cost of that comes out of the plan, which could reduce the total amount of assets available for recovery.
In the second pool.
In the unsecured claim pool, yes. But, well, I take that back. It could be a competing claim as an administrative claim, okay, on par or higher than our claim, our administrative claim, and that's something Trevor said he didn't know for certain at this point. And Trevor, you know, to his credit, is not trying to soak us on fees when, you know, there's kind of this high-level decision we have to make, which is how much more do we want to incur, you know, given the uncertainty of any recovery here. And my recommendation would be to go ahead and be in favor of the plan, try to get our $37,000. If the unsecured committee is going to do what they do, but I don't think there's any reason for us to try to count on basically 5% of our claims, like $2,000, which we would spend in a heartbeat trying to do anything different. The equity piece is, I think, is just a kicker so that to try to entice people to hang in there with whatever future lawsuit recovery they might get. But other than that, the rest of that's sort of irrelevant in my mind.
Well, I agree with that completely. And I know that he has said my review has been surface level given the potential money at stake, meaning I think a small amount of money at stake. So I think we just have to be practical about it.
It's my recollection that we only take revenue when received. So this 37 hasn't been already taken as revenue, or any of those haven't been taken as revenue.
No, it'd be revenue when earned, when we have the right to it. So once
but we have a right to it.
We do not at this. Well, there's also an element of is it determinable, and what's the level of certainty that you're actually going to collect it. If it's uncollectible, then you don't recognize it. So in this case, until the final order is issued, and we have reason to believe we can actually collect it, we would not record it as revenue.
Yeah, but I guess my question coming in really is we don't have anything to charge back. We've not taken any revenue.
No. We have already written off the entire bank receivable. So from a financial statement standpoint, it's all whatever we recover is great.
Okay. Well, I think unless there are additional questions, we need a motion for
reconsideration.
I'll second it.
Okay.
And just to add to that, I think the motion should include empowering and executing all documents necessary to effectuate the instruction to the court that we're in favor of the plan.
So, okay. And I just want to state for the record, the fact that I am a lawyer does not make me a bankruptcy lawyer, and I have not read all the documents, and I do not intend to, and we're relying on advice of counsel, and I will be relying on advice of counsel.
That's what we pay for it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Janitorial services agreement, second amendment.
Yeah, this is simply an extension, a one-year extension in accordance with the contract. This is the last of the extensions available for that contract. It has built into the agreement 3% increase in fees, and then next year it'll be time to go out for RFP again. We did actually. It does provide in the agreement that we could simply give notice of our desire to extend it. We elected to actually do it as an amendment and include the language related to waiving any claims. The vendor sort of, when we had the issue with the auditors, was it a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we went back and re-examined that contract and collected some reimbursement from them for some overpayments. And he attempted to come back to us and said that there was another provision in the contract for some additional services that we owed him for. And that language was in the previous contract. It is not in the current contract. So we just wanted to clear this up and make sure that he understood we were never going to pay him for those either the previous contract or the current contract. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so. Yep.
So just to clear the air on that and not have that come up as an issue in the future. And he's agreed to that.
He's under his second contract
It was a one-year contract with 2 1-year renewals.
Right, but he had a contract.
He did have a contract before.
Prior to that, we did the new RFP
And you're perfectly happy with the service?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, and it's really the gentleman who provides the services, not so much the owner. Michael's done a great job for us as long as I've been here. Matter of fact, I had received compliments from the National Park Service about what a great job he does and how responsive he is to anything that they ask for. So,
well, that's great.
That was a vote of confidence. And before I forget, did you guys sign that? You sneak out.
The biggest change since we've been on here from Janitorial Service being complimented. When we first came on, it was
nothing but complaints.
Janitor's really in building maintenance. Yeah.
All vendors.
And I'll tell you, with Stephanie Choulet from Town Core now, she is all over these people.
Good.
Which is good. She's really on top of things. She's actually inspecting buildings, and if things aren't right, she'd make them walk through and fix it. So, pretty happy about that. Yeah, I apologize for sneaking in there, but I don't want Dave to run out here. Are you going to need 2 signatures on that? That's for the Lewis and Whitlock payment for the.
You want 2 signatures on the check?
Yes, please.
Itself. Okay.
It's over $10,000.
Okay.
That's the amount that was approved by the board. That doesn't need to go in the minutes, but.
All right. Anything else on the janitorial services agreement?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Third. All in favor. All right. Done. Okay. Proposed changes to the bylaws.
Yes, I do have some changes to the changes.
Okay. I myself had some changes to the changes, so.
Yeah, and that's.
Maybe we'll be on the same page.
Okay, well, in paragraph, well, really we're trying to accomplish 2 things. One is to define what present means, and 2, to allow people to be present via electronic means. Now, I'm not suggesting. I'm not suggesting that I necessarily agree that people should be able to be present by electronic means, but I get regular questions from board members and committee members who want to be present by electronic means, and I'd like to have it in the bylaws one way or the other, whether or not that's permitted. So what you have in here, let me take the first question, which is present, the meaning of present. And what I've changed from what you see is this kind of clunky wording in paragraph 1.7b, where we change that language. After Melissa and I went back and looked at this, we decided a better way to do this was just in the definition of present.
Well, I did something very similar, but go ahead.
All right, maybe we got to the same place. Okay,
yeah, I didn't think that made a lot of sense.
Why is that? Sorry. So if you eliminate all those changes in 1.7b, and instead, up here in the definitions, we just say present shall mean physically or electronically in attendance and legally entitled to vote. Now, I sent you in...
Okay, so with that, we're including the have not disqualified yourself. Because that's what legally entitled to
vote
means.
Correct. Right, you have not recused yourself.
You have not recused yourself.
Because the issue comes up is Well, first of all, if you recuse yourself and you're legally entitled to recuse yourself in that situation, are you counted for one, for quorum purposes, and two, for majority of the vote?
Yeah.
And as it presently reads, it's the majority of those present whether they're entitled to vote or not.
Right.
Which would change the number of people it would take for a majority.
Those present electronically.
Well, let's leave electronic out for the moment, but...
And legally.
But legally entitled to vote. So if you have to recuse yourself because you have a conflict of interest, okay, you do not count as a, in the quorum, okay, and you do not count in the...
Majority.
In the total voting for purposes of majority.
Yeah.
So in the past, if you had, you know, five people here, and one of them had to recuse themselves, and this number always is weird, but you would be included in the five, and you would take, you know, 50% plus one, right? Or, 50, yeah. Whereas,
or four.
Whereas, with the way the Attorney General's opinion came out, you're not in that. The thing you're taking 50% of, so.
See, this is interesting to me, and I appreciate the clarification, because I thought, say, if we had four commissioners on the dais and one recused himself, I guess we would still have quorum with three. But, I mean, there is a way to drop below quorum.
I take that, yeah.
But your quorum for the meeting, that person still counts.
Yes.
And you're still holding a public meeting.
Yes.
You may not have quorum for that particular item.
To
on
vote,
the agenda,
yes.
To vote.
Yes.
There is a distinction there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the quorum is the percentage of the whole.
Yes.
The quorum is based on a percentage of the whole board.
Yeah.
So.
Although I will have to say again, I actually read some of the stuff. I'm not sure that it's correct or that it applies directly to us, but it's the only safe thing to do, so it's irrelevant. I mean, this is an ancient Attorney General's opinion.
Yeah. But it happened, I believe, at the same time as the change to the conflict of interest statute. That's what they were trying to get
at,
I think, in that opinion.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I'm not a lawyer, but Melissa has looked at all this, and
again, so. I'm going with her opinion. I think it's a safe thing to do. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You just do it that way. That's how everybody else does it. That's what we'll do.
Let's make it clear is what I was going after, because in the past we haven't been certain as to. Well, we thought one thing and something else.
And those opinions are challenging, because unless someone requests a new opinion, you are
just
basing it on something else that could be outdated. A lot of electronic and social media and things like that, we don't have opinions on yet. So,
as I said,
but it is a rational basis for making that decision.
It is.
So that's really what you
exactly.
need.
Exactly.
Again, back to Ann, I think it is what you said. It's the opinion that we have. It's the opinion that would be used by any other board, and that's it.
Yeah. Safe thing to do.
Okay. So that's that change. And then the other change is getting at the electronic participation question. And so we went back and we looked at the Sunshine Laws, and in particular the handbook, which addresses this question pretty specifically, mm-hmm. Which is that you can participate in meetings electronically. And we gave a definition of what that meant.
But you better have a really good reason.
I'm glad you put in extraordinary circumstances.
Yep.
I just got to say.
And that language is right out of the Sunshine Law Handbook, which says...
I saw it, yeah.
Now, they kind of automatically say illness is an exceptional reason, okay? They also had other examples where, I think it was where you have...
Jury duty.
Or a handicap person. I think jury duty would be one as well. It's unanticipatable... Is that a word? Mm-hmm. Events.
Mm-hmm.
But scheduling conflicts was not one of them.
Right. What if you had a scheduled board meeting for executive committee, obviously? Everybody agreed to be there, but some conflicts with them had to postpone it to a point in time which that person had already booked reservations to Paris.
Well, that's a good hypothetical.
It's happened. She was in Paris.
Does that come up as an excusable item?
Well, and this is why we put it there.
Because originally it was everybody agreed to the date.
Yeah.
The date had to change.
Mm-hmm.
Changed to a point in time where somebody had already committed to be gone and probably was gone. Does that allow them to call in and execute by telephone from Paris?
I probably wouldn't call them.
Well, I was just going to say, according to this, such an extraordinary circumstance shall be made in the good judgment of the board.
And that's a challenging one, because who, I mean, let's just be frank about it. Who wants to push back on another board member that wants to participate and call in from vacation? I mean, that's kind of a difficult one. I mean, I'll point out, you know, I appreciate what Brian Deloge is doing right now and everything, and we gave him the ability to call in to board meetings this year because he can't control his travel schedule. It does change the dynamics of the conversation and everything else. He would like to be in the meeting as well. There are extraordinary circumstances. My sense has always been with this that if we put out a calendar in August or October, you know those meetings in advance. You're scheduling your travel plans for the summer. Take those into consideration. If you choose to miss a meeting, you choose to miss a meeting.
But in your
scenario, should a meeting change after the fact, that may be considered an extraordinary circumstance by the, you know, good judgment of the board, because it was something that was unintended. And in good faith, you tried to be at the meeting. Is that fair? Or
that would sound to me the way I would vote for it if it comes to the board to vote whether a person participates or not. I would vote that they did because the meeting date was changed. After they'd already made their reservations, or after they'd already left the town. So.
Yeah, so obviously there are two things here. One, it kind of, this is going to determine whether you have a strike against you as a being absent, and it potentially also can affect our business. So.
Now, regardless, the participation by electronic means does not count towards quorum.
Right.
So we can't solve that problem.
Right.
But if somebody is sick and they have an opinion on something they want to express, and they can vote.
Yeah.
Those we had believed in the past that they couldn't vote, but they can actually vote.
Right. Well, the only thing, and this is not a big deal, I would even consider putting extraordinary circumstances such as serious illness. That's not a big deal.
Serious illness versus just, you know, run-of-the-mill colds and stuff.
Okay. I have colds.
Okay.
Don't tell me your way, Eric.
Yeah.
So intensive care qualified.
Yeah. And well, again, we're trying to telegraph the gravity of the situation here, you know. I think that's what we really want to do.
Now, I will say, and you just hit on it, the paragraph that's on the next page on 9 of 19, if more members are approved to participate via electronic means and can be accommodated,
then we're in trouble.
We have such a small board that I can't.
We're in trouble.
I don't know how many people we can accommodate on a conference call or whatever. Two, okay. We get down to quorum issues at that point, so that's really not, you know, something. But
and that's right now. I haven't talked about, you know, we could do Skype. We could add some other capabilities. You know.
But
if you're sick at home, you probably don't want to be on Skype.
Yeah, right. The question for me, though, is the word approved. And Dave, you just said you would vote for those type of extraordinary circumstances. I don't see anywhere in here that good judgment of the board or executive requires a vote as to whether or not someone can be approved.
Well, I would think good judgment of the board would have to be.
Okay, it's just, am I wrong? I didn't read that it was explicit that the board will take a vote.
It says good judgment. That's the same way. I mean, but how else would the board express its good judgment?
Just chatter. Okay, we like you, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's easily fixed.
Yeah, I can just say, we can just say by majority vote of the board.
I think it's got to go one way or another. The word approved to me implies a vote, a formal approval by the board that we are accepting those who are participating electronically.
Okay.
Good judgment could go either way.
Yeah, that's language from the thing, but yeah.
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 Okay,
so I think that's actually good.
Is that?
Yeah.
It's
just so we know our process.
Yeah.
And I can clarify that.
Good judgment by vote.
Expressed by vote.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
And whatever we do here, we'll have to be submit it to the board in advance and all that. So that's why I was looking for guidance on how I want to do this. And that's also why, if you notice, I take the time to spell out that you have to have, the executive committee can do it for committees. The board can obviously do it at the meeting for whatever person's missing. So hang on, we got to get the board to vote.
Yeah.
Okay, and say, sorry, hang up, you can't participate. But in the case of committees, it would be up to the executive committee. And if the executive committee didn't meet before that particular, say it's an audit committee meeting, then they couldn't approve it at that point in time.
Right.
And they wouldn't be able to participate.
You could get the executive committee to approve it by telephone.
Thanks, Ann.
Sorry.
I saw the
story. Sorry. It was a good race.
She may be sick, but
we'll have a conference call to determine that. Okay. So, and I think this is one of the reasons in the past that the board has chosen not to allow participation by telephone because it's messy.
It is.
It's easier just to say, sorry, we're not going to do that.
And I bet you all had the same experience that I have had, which is we do shareholder meetings occasionally by conference call, and we have a big fancy video screen and everything. It's horrible still. It just doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
So
the participant is not committed to the meeting as if they were sitting at the table.
No, they are not.
Yeah, and I think we've done it twice since I've been here, where we've allowed someone to participate. I mean, one was you, and one was, I think, Tom Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was yes, you were seriously ill.
I was seriously ill.
And it was an executive committee meeting.
But we didn't let you vote, though.
That's right. We did. You did not vote.
And I will own that. Really pushing that on the board in recent years, because I had a question up until the last couple of years with discussion about Brian and others on whether or not we could vote. So in an abundance of caution, we went that direction, but a lot of other boards did too, so it wasn't just us. So I'm glad to have it in the bylaws and everything else. And smart.
So are you okay with this then to allow it? I mean, again, I'm not saying the motion, but... Oh, you already read the motion, did you? Okay. Sorry, I missed that.
Okay.
Can I give you one other... This is just for sense. I think that under 1.7, the first sentence, the first section A, should be just the one sentence about what constitutes a quorum. Because quorum and voting are two different things. So one sentence on quorum, and then B is voting, everything that has to take place for people to vote.
Oh, I see what
you're saying. See what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Flip that, but I mean, keep that sentence in there after voting, but then everything after and here, the affirmative vote of majority. So yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And first you determine your quorum, and then you vote. So it just makes more sense.
Yep.
Okay.
Good point.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Anybody? So we had a motion.
What's the motion?
To approve the bylaw changes subject to your friendly revisions.
And approval by the board.
And correct.
Okay.
Or recommendation of the board that it be approved.
Correct.
And Ron, if you will, I know you do this anyway,
I'll
run it by me after you have your draft for the board, because I can't really comprehend stuff on the, you know what I mean, on the screen.
Sure.
Okay.
I second that.
I will send it to the executive committee.
That's a good
the whole draft, and if you have any other comments, put some back in.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. And as noted previously, we are deferring on item 8, the professional auditing services agreement.
I will just go ahead and give you an update while we're here. The audit committee did meet twice. We got 5 proposals from 5 really, really qualified firms. 3 of them stood out. We had the 3 of them in last Thursday for presentations, and the final ranking was Thomas L. Ferguson first. James Moore second, and Carriggs Ingram third. Without going into details, because we are technically still under negotiation, because we're trying to finalize the contract, but we were able to negotiate a better fee than what we had in the past. And it was within the direction given by the audit committee on what they were looking for. So now we're just at a point of trying to get the final contract, and it gets into the CPA firms like their engagement letter format because it covers all their bases. But I do want to wrap a couple of things around it and maybe just incorporate their engagement letter into a kind of a separate contract that incorporates all the stuff we want. So we'll work on that. That's the way the county does it. Matter of fact, I just steal everything from the county now. I ran with the wheel.
Flattering.
They have attorneys that work there. So. and then I give it to Melissa to look at it next year. So.
Do we need to give any authority, any process, so that this can still come up at the board meeting?
No, at this point, it's got one of two things will happen. If we have another executive committee in July, which I would kind of like to avoid, but if we do, then the executive committee will consider the contract then. If not, then I'll just present it at the
board.
At the board meeting.
Okay.
Well, that was good work getting the negotiation there.
Yes.
I compliment you on that.
Thank you. We tried a new scoring process, which we were going to use going forward because I really liked it a lot. We've had this dilemma before. I think you've said it on evaluation committee where you get these big disparities from one evaluator to the other. And now with this ranking process that we're using, it solves all those problems.
Good.
So I stole that from the county, too.
Well, if it works, we like it.
That's right. That's all I got on that.
Okay. Board officers discussion.
We, after much arm twisting, cajoling, bribery. No, I'm just kidding.
Congratulations, Tristan.
you are a funny man.
Dave?
So our volunteer slate of officers for next year at this point, and we could have, I suppose, nominations from the floor. I don't think we have anything that says we can't.
It's happened, though.
It has. Dave Ramsey, chair. Kim Williams, vice chair. And April Salter, treasurer. It's funny how it just worked out. And April's really excited about being treasurer. She's a chief operating officer for her firm. She says she's kind of in charge of the financials, so that kind of fits her, and she wouldn't mind another year with exec and all of that. So, although she said, don't put me in line for the next thing, because we're not there yet.
So, I think it should be clear that no appointment automatically puts you in succession for another position. If that's not clear to bylaws, I think it should be.
Well, except that, part of our whole MO in doing this was to do exactly that.
To do that.
Get people staged up so they'd be ready to.
Yes, but I don't think it should be automatic.
No. It's not.
And it's not. I agree with
you. And I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah.
I think the opposite is true.
it's been much more likely in my experience.
Well, I'm real happy that Kim Williams would be willing to consider vice chair with, again, the potential that he might become a chair or would probably become a chair. And I think with all the work Kristen has done, getting the labs and all in position, I think Kim has that same passion. And I think that probably by 2018, that will be, or 2019, I guess that'll be about when we're ready to cut a ribbon or something like that, I hope. And he'll keep pushing it until it gets done. So
I hope so.
I think that's a good order of succession there.
Well, and I want to thank you, Dave. I think this did take quite a bit of arm twisting, but I think the timing is great, and I really appreciate your willingness to do it. And then, if you need
it's
to go,
hard following behind good shoes, though.
If you need to go be in North Carolina half the year, that'll be easier to do. But hopefully, you will stay involved in any event.
I can vote for North Carolina. Can I take a gavel with me?
Depends on whether you're seriously ill.
Yes, only if you're seriously ill.
Now, so we don't want anything seriously ill.
Sorry. Yeah. No. Seriously. Yeah. If Dave and Kim are both in North Carolina at the same time, we move the meeting up there.
There you are.
Right?
That's right. We just have to notice it.
And in person.
I'm sure we'll get a reporter who wants to get with us.
Yeah. Explaining why we're having a meeting out of state.
Right.
Let me add one thing. As some of you may know, Dustin Daniels had expressed an interest in being chair. I did invite him to come to this committee meeting to discuss that. I have had conversations with him about all of that, but at this point, I don't know where he stands with that, and he may decide then at the board meeting to express his desire.
Did you invite him to this meeting?
I did.
And did he say he was coming?
He did not.
Okay.
He was invited. He did not respond.
One thing, Mr. Executive Director, that troubles me a little bit on this is I'm not sure his phone calls to other members is in compliance with Sunshine, since the action he's proposing would have to be voted on by this board.
Well, I addressed that with counsel. And just to make sure, counsel spoke with him and got clarification as to what was discussed. And what was discussed was more fact gathering about the role of the chair and what's involved, not necessarily lobbying for the position.
But he chose to call a number of board members to ask that versus
only one.
Only one, okay.
The other conversation that he had with the board member wasn't related to anything the board was voting on. So, and it wasn't related to, not directly to that. So, but he's fully aware of what Sunshine Law is, at least he's expressed that. Council spoke with him and got clarification to her satisfaction. So, I think we've addressed that issue, and hopefully we're all good going forward.
Good. I'm glad people want to be in positions. That's good. But we just got to do it correctly. Probably.
Yes.
Legally.
Yes. He understands that.
Well, I want to say that, Dave, you've been trying to avoid the chairmanship for years. Or you could turn that around and say, you just like being vice chair to,
I could be vice chair another year.
Yeah. I'm joking there.
We could swap out everybody.
Right. Absolutely.
I can't think of a better person to step in as we go into this next phase. This is the first time that we have a slate with no public sector people, and I'm not knocking us, Eric. I mean, I think we add value to the board for sure, but our efforts over the years have been to increase private sector participation, add more members, and this is the first time we've seen a slate in probably 6 years, with no public sector people in the three officer positions, and that is very significant that we have the desire and the knowledge base in the private sector positions to accommodate all three roles, and that's fantastic. You've been here, you and I are the longest serving members right now, and you have done in world work for the board, so I love the fact that you will take the chairmanship this year, and I think Kim is in April rounding out that executive committee. Should the board approve the slate, I think that's great. And I will also celebrate in October, because this will be the end of 5 years on executive committee for me. So, I don't know what I'm going to do without an executive committee meeting. But
We're going to create a fifth position.
Stop.
Anybody can show up to the executive
committee. And I welcome you into the chair, yes.
Can you refresh our memory as to what your term is?
What my term is?
Yeah, I can't remember when you have to run.
Yes. Yes.
For commission.
Yes.
Talking about for commission.
Yeah, and actually the term on the Innovation Park Board and my county commission term are simultaneous. The county commission appoint. Yeah, so I am up in 18.
Okay.
So I would file this summer. My plan is by August 1. And which is a little later than typical. So you'll see a lot of the incumbents, if they're going to run again, running this summer, or filing it next month or this month. And so the election in November of 18, and the board will appoint a 4-year term on the Innovation Park Board in December of 18. So my term is up, my second 4 years is up in November of 18. At that point, anything could happen in the election, but I'm not sure any of my colleagues are going to be jumping on the chance. But then again, it's much more fun board now. So so if others want to jump in, there's always that possibility come December of 18.
Well, I'm getting way ahead of myself, and don't answer this if it's awkward in any way. But is there anything that precludes you from continuing to serve on this board,
No.
assuming you are reelected?
No. The only thing that would preclude it is deference to other commissioners should they want to be on this board, because I have served two terms, and that is typical for us. We have term limits for citizen appointees, but we can waive those. But for commissioners, there are no term limits on the appointed boards. And oftentimes, I will say, Appalachian Regional Planning Council, I've been appointed to that board just recently. James Hall served on the board, I think, for maybe 16 years.
And that was really
her thing. People typically have a lot of deference to those boards that we dig into. So,
well, I would just like to say that I hope we continue to be really your thing.
Well, I appreciate that.
That would be great.
Whether I'm here or not, it's my thing. But yes, we are making progress. This is a fun time. So I appreciate the questions, for sure. You're stuck with me for a while.
Now, how does your term relate to when the next available seat is on the state and house?
Yeah, that we don't have to discuss on the record. Funny.
That was provocative.
Thank you, Dave. It's come once a year. I appreciate the confidence, for sure. Yes.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions, concerns? I guess that what happens is at our next meeting, we have a nominations from the floor. And then we vote.
Yep.
That's it.
And I think Melissa runs that operation. And and so there's no action required by the executive committee on this. I wanted to give you that update. The one thing I will say I think is critically important is that we continue in the nominating process for board members to reinforce both the need to be in the line of succession, to take your turn at the helm, and make sure that we're getting the right people for those roles, but also to make sure they understand the critical importance of attendance, I think.
Yeah, that really is hard on me.
Yeah.
I just don't. You can't berate people into attending. They're either going to do it or they're not. But.
And we basically, in the predecessors, we kind of asked them to resign.
I know,
And so. But that was after, I think, 2 years of trying,
And then the other addition to that, and I agree with Ron completely, is if you have any ideas about people who would be good, please just try to always kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And we need to be continuously trying to fill the pipeline
for
people who would be interested.
Well, just a couple of thoughts on that, and it's typical for summertime for me to mention something on this end, although I think we're in a very good place right now, having expanded the board 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and then we tweaked it last year with some of the board seats, things like that. The board is still, I can't say we're really in transition anymore. I mean, we're hitting our stride, which is fantastic. But there's always the possibility that we could recommend changes to the county commission for the ordinance. So I think we fill up this room nicely right now. 11 members now.
Let's build a bigger conference room.
Yes. We might need a bigger conference room for us. Fair point. We have considered a larger meeting space and some other building, but... if that continues to be a challenge to get people into that pipeline, that is one option. Another option might be recommendations for board seats coming through the park board. I would suggest recusal by city and county people if that were the case, but COCA does that. They facilitate the applications coming directly into COCA, and then they submit four names to the county commission, and we may select two of them. So that's always... something that the board could take a more active role in the nominations. Right now we have a nominating committee and they solicit, but that is president of the chamber and city manager or county administrator, those types of folks. So there are tweaks a year from now. Normally you want to get that in front of the county commission in June or July to get it into the nominating committee, and next summer the nominating committee would start. I think Vince normally holds those meetings in July, so that we can have our nominations in the August-September timeframe, right?
Yeah.
So just always putting it out there. I think we're in a pretty good place. We've tweaked it the last two cycles, but should we, you know, have challenges or one additional private sector? That is always a possibility.
Yeah, I
how
think
would
you,
excuse me,
you go ahead.
How would the commission and county executives view us proposing that we become the nominating committee versus the way it's set up now? Would they see that as a threat, a challenge, or as a welcome suggestion, or how would that be viewed? But they still have a final say.
Yes, the commission would still have the final say. It's in the ordinance. Quite frankly, I think that should a slate of all private sector folks be in or within the officers, and Ann, you would be past chair, and you all constitute the executive committee, and a recommendation comes from that committee to the full board, to the commission. I think that is a good way to position and to show the growth of the board, that we can accommodate that charge now, where in the past maybe we couldn't. The other thing is that those, we always are a little challenged because those members of the nominating committee aren't working day to day in the board.
Right.
So they don't really, they. I mean, it has...
We changed it. And
we
so,
changed it.
Yeah, so what we got...
The board chair
now
is involved in it, yes.
Yeah, so. I was there.
Yes.
It was very quick. There was a lot of consensus, so, you know, there wasn't a lot of discussion.
And that's what was really great about what we changed.
Yes.
Is it did give us input into the nominating process more than we'd ever had.
Right.
With having the board chair, we didn't
yes.
get the applications. We could solicit applications. Right.
Right. So,
yes.
So
you're right.
Pretty much. Well,
yeah.
They gave us the applications as well.
Oh, yeah.
So,
we had.
So we had it all in advance. So we were able to have a lot of input, and I was able
Good.
To be in the room and to provide at least some ideas of needs, and Ann as well. I mean, we
and they really listened.
They
to that,
did.
I think.
Yeah. So the committee now, in addition to our board chair, is the head of the Mag Lab,
mm-hmm.
Who said, I think, I'm trying to think who he said.
He wasn't there.
Right?
Yeah.
He may not even show up for that. The dean of the College of Engineering, Vince, and it was Ben, but it's going to be the head of OEV.
Right.
He's no longer the chamber,
because
it was really the EDC.
Yeah.
Boy, Ron, thank you. I had not thought about that committee in a while. You're
yeah.
right. We did change it, and OEV being involved is
yes.
critical because they know more
yeah.
about what we're doing.
So yeah. I mean, my impression was they deferred to some extent. I think they had some of their own ideas, which were fine. Maybe not so much the College of Engineering. But I think it's good to have them involved to the extent that we can, and to get them more engaged with what we're doing.
I think if anything, it was pretty much just an additional opportunity to do that, to get those people
yeah.
to sit around the table and go, oh, this long was like,
yeah.
you know, we're out of here. Yeah, keep it moving, which was fine in that circumstance. So.
And the engineering school, we're getting more involved with them and other things. Yeah, again, thank you for reminding, and there was a lot more input this time. The flip side of the question is, does this board want to be making a decision between two very good candidates that we're serving with later, or between someone who has absentee issues or others?
Yeah,
it's a little different to defer that. So there are two sides to that coin. I think it is, like I said, I'm not suggesting tweaks right now. It's just
yeah.
my annual kind of, hey,
yeah.
you know, if we need more members or things like that.
For
it's
sure.
not.
Right.
Obviously, we finally have a pipeline. But
yeah,
it,
we did also have a provision in there that if the chair is up for
yes.
reappointment, then the chair would recuse themselves and the board would appoint someone else to represent
yeah.
the board.
Yeah.
So. So Dave, you have to decide. You have to decide if you're going to.
I might not be reappointed.
You have to decide.
Then it goes back to the previous former chair or what?
Well,
no,
it's whoever the board appoints.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right.
So I have.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, Dave. I didn't know if you decided whether or not you're going to ask to be reappointed.
Don't ask him right now.
But we'll wait till.
Yeah, please. Depends on what the.
It might be better to ask him now than wait
yes.
till.
So I just wanted to get this out, and this is a little bit just sort of spur of the moment, but I have thought about it before. I do think that we might not have quite enough private sector seats on the board to be continuously having all the leadership come from that. And one way that has occurred to me, which might not be a good idea, and it says nothing about the representation we've had in the past, I'm not sure that having a tenant on the board is really all that. I mean, it raises potential conflicts. You don't know who you're going to get. If you have one of your major tenants, you know, okay, great, but I'm not... We always want to hear from the tenants. Everybody, you know, who's a tenant should be welcome here. Denise spends a lot of time trying to communicate with them. I don't know that I absolutely get having a tenant on the board. Just an idea.
I think that's the first time, well, at least as long as I've been here, that's the first time it happened, I don't know if it, in the past.
Not while we've been here. It's not a designated seat or a recruited. Yeah. It was...
We were looking for an industrial person, in my mind. Yeah. We were looking for somebody from industry.
Right.
And that's fine, too.
But I wasn't looking for a tent.
Right. Okay.
When I was thinking of it.
I didn't remember if we were actually looking for a tenant, frankly. So.
I don't think it's solicited as that, but I think that could be under consideration in those future nominating committee discussions, and that's a good point. The other side, I'm poking a little fun at Eric and I in the public sector, but I don't think, I mean, y'all have heard me repeatedly, no board wants a chair for 3 years. You need good turnover. You need, you know, that was a unique time period for us. I don't think private sector, public sector can never be in the pipeline. I think it presents different challenges. City County Commissioner sitting as chairman cannot brief their colleagues. For example, what you and Ron have done this year. There were certain challenges. There may be some benefits of being in the mix with other things, but there are challenges. Mm-hmm. Being in one of the other roles is something FSU and FAMU and TCC could serve as chair, but there are other challenges there. So we got to respect those challenges, but I think we could still be drawn on for other positions and things like that to be included. Or there's always a consideration of a public seat on the executive. Just keep one rotating member of the five public seats or something like that. We can consider all this in the future. But yes, I think more private sector is the one thing that, with a bigger conference room and more to do, we may want to consider.
Right.
But I think we're great, and I'm happy about the slate. So that was a longer discussion than wrong.
It's good to flesh this out every once in a while, I think.
It's so. Once a year, yes.
Yeah, once a year.
Agreed.
So. Okay, well, great. And
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave, and good luck everybody.
You know, it's difficult to follow good leadership, so I was very reluctant.
And Ann was nervous.
And I'm grateful. Thank you. And I just want to be clear, I intend to still be very much involved, but I'm very ready for this. Okay, so number 10, the EEP planning.
Can I take something out of order here?
Absolutely.
Because I know Dave's going to have to leave here pretty soon, and I want to go ahead and just give you a quick briefing on Sunnyland.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thank you.
Because I have a feeling you'd probably be interested in that. So, as you know, and as you probably read, we have a lease with Sunnyland Solar that was done back in 2011. Get my notes up here. So, it was effective August 3rd of 2011. The initial 7-year term then ends August 2nd, 2018. They have two additional 7-year options with 30 days notice. The rent is in fact $7,000 per year. There is a provision in the lease that says they must create 25 FTEs in 5 years, or LCREA has the right to increase the rent after 7 years. So I'm not sure. I haven't really pursued that because until they decide to renew the lease, it's really not an issue. But our understanding is that they do not intend to renew the lease, at least based on the conversations that
you had. I have nothing formal, but in a brief conversation at a comp plan workshop with JT Burnett 2 months ago, I just mentioned that we had talked about this, and he indicated they likely would not renew the lease, but it was no in-depth conversation at all. So that's as much as I know, given current circumstances. Well, and just the activity out there, yeah. I guess.
It's an opportunity at this time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still.
And what is the lease for?
Land.
Lot 1E and 7F, and just, okay. You can see up there on the map, it's got Sunnyland Solar written across the two right there on the lot line.
And what does that constitute together in terms of acreage?
It's 9, we don't have it here, but I think it's 9.8.
Okay, approximately 9 acres. And there is nothing out there that they've done?
They do have some, it's 9.8. They do have some structures out there, some electrical
hangers.
What's that?
Hangers,
yes.
Where they hung these sausages.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the infrastructure to connect them. Mm-hmm. I'm not aware that they ever connected to the grid. There's actually a provision in the lease that it's a power provision that it was a power purchase option, I'm sorry. That if they ever did generate power, that we had the right to buy.
Are they up to date
on the release payments?
Yes.
With I think there's like the current month and the prior month, which is not unusual for them.
Okay, but they have been paid.
They have been paid. We occasionally have to go chase them, but
right.
It's what $588 a month or something.
It's
like
not
that.
Much. Yeah. I think the timing on this is relatively good. This deal was negotiated by the chair at the time, Phil Blank, and the escrow and all of that. Our concern and our discussion at the board at that time was what if we were ready to develop property. Obviously, we haven't been up to this point, but in the board vote of June 1, then yeah, I'm just makes my day every day. It may be the right time to look at that property for future development and consider it in the next few years. So I think it is a good time to consider that transition, right?
Yep.
Who was the executive director at that time?
Catherine Kunst.
Catherine.
What was her name again?
Kunst.
Kunst.
K-U-N-S-T.
Kunst, yeah.
Kunst, yeah, I think.
And I give Phil credit after they kind of came into this land lease at however much, 7,000 a year, whatever it turned out to be.
Plus campus, I forgot.
He came up with the idea, well, we want this $100,000. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call it a slush fund.
You just did, but.
The lease
calls it an inducement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just an additional payment.
It's what it was.
Rent in advance, whatever you want to call it.
It gave us pretty much. All we had to do was tell them what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
We didn't have to get their approval, but it gave us the opportunity to spend $100,000 in any way that would benefit the park.
Yeah.
And so
I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
I thought it was a very good solution that he came up with. And there was some reluctance at first for them to do it, but they eventually said yes, they'd do it.
And I think it is fair to say we have used that funding in ways that support entrepreneurial activity, part the wet lab lease, EEP, or not lease, the feasibility study, sorry.
Yeah.
EEP program, and what was reported in the paper, and I just want to give you a shout out, Ron, with all of the different crazy things going on, it is notable what's not being tied into this. I mean, of course, I mean, that article this weekend was going to go through all the different projects they had information on this time. But you had the documents. You cleared it up immediately. And
Ron and I had the virtue of a very fortunate conversation right before the reporter called. So that was
Before he called, we were already talking about it.
It was something that occurred to me as soon as I saw the first report.
And just so you know, I did provide him the full list of everything we spent the $100,000 on, and obviously he chose what he wanted to report on. But I thought he treated us pretty fairly.
I thought he did too, and that's where I was going to go. That it's an indication of there's really no there. They've got other things that they're going to explore. But the end of the Imagine Tallahassee, that's the one thing they kind of linked in the article that was a request made by Imagine Tallahassee, Kim Rivers and others, and to be fair, lots of other groups donated to that process. It was economic development. I think we consider it part of our EDC kind of stake in that those discussions, so I think that was justified. Just for the record.
Yeah, but I don't think they did as good a job of explaining as I would have liked for them to have done. But on the other hand, I'm talking about that donation piece.
Yeah.
And it made it almost look like, well, we gave them $10,000 back, sort of, I thought. But anyhow,
that's why I mentioned it. Yeah.
But quite honestly, we've not done anything with that money that we wouldn't have done in a prudent manner. Mm-hmm.
And to spend $10,000 on a project that whose purpose was to gather lots of public input on how to spend tax dollars seems
to create jobs.
Yeah.
To create jobs seems like a pretty reasonable use of those funds. So.
And part of the discussion in there was wet labs.
Yeah. Tell me again what Imagine Tallahassee, what was its charge specifically?
It was a visioning project for how to spend the 12% in sales tax dollars from
how many millions?
It's going to be, well, total of the 12% is $95 million, but there are multiple projects that were pre-approved by the voters, so it's around $56 million or something like that left in the pool.
So that's
that will be
broken
up over 12 years, or 20 years. Imagine what, during the sales tax committee constituted by city and county, Kim Rivers and others came in and said they wanted to privately fundraise and put together a parallel process to consider options for the economic development funds. They did the community visioning. They came back with a list. City and county took a handful of things off the list. The convention center, airport, put that along with the infrastructure project list. That was approved by voters, but none of the rest of it from that committee got into the official. It's just to be considered later.
And when did Imagine Tallahassee, when did the vision occur?
2 years ago.
That was in spring and summer of 14. It went to referendum in November of 14. So.
2 3/4 years.
Yeah, that fiscal year 2013. So.
Actually, I was just about to say that wrong. It may have been 13 when all that was going through because it was the fall of 13 and leading into the spring. We would have had to make our decision on the ballot language in the summer of 14. So yes, it would have been in 13.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
Just trying to kind of get this in my brain. Well, I think this is a great opportunity just to get us all kind of up to speed. So if anybody has anything else they want to add or anything else that you are aware of that we need to be,
that we need to know. Nice job.
Thank you.
Yes, very, very much. Thank you.
For the record, I will say that right now, the call I took that I announced on the record when I walked in, Jeff Burley is calling all 12 city and county commissioners right now, asking them if they have been contacted by the FBI. I would bet that 100% of the county commissioners will say no, and that the county had no knowledge of either subpoena prior to the news breaking on Thursday, which is notable since four of us sit on the CRA. I've been on the CRA since 13. I've read those subpoenas. They are extraordinarily broad, particularly for the city. 5 years of emails, text messages, and other things. And the group of companies is very broad, or individuals and companies, three kind of groups, but it is very broad. So you've seen the other reporting. That's as much additional information that I could share because, I mean, really the only thing that I have that hasn't been in the reporting necessarily is having read the subpoenas.
Mm-hmm. How long has this been going on, this inquiry, before they come out with subpoenas?
They report in the Democrat. I did not hear this before the report in the Democrat that it's been 2 years and the FBI has used undercover operatives within those 2 years. Don't know if that's on the public side or the private side, but it's in U.S. Justice Department and the Honest Services and the public ethics realm. So they are looking to city and CRA. That's the other, I guess, important piece here, is that CRA has taken a lot of the focus because of past reporting in the recent months, but it is city and CRA, and so I think it's all speculation now of where it goes or who the targets are. So I didn't mean to digress there too much, Ron, but there's...
I'm really trying to... I think it's going to be very important. This is going to take a long time, whatever it is they're doing. We have to be sure that we don't let ourselves get bogged down. You know, it's a... we don't know what's going to happen, except... we know it's going to take a long time, and so everything is going to be much more uncertain than it's been, which I really hate. So it changes the atmosphere in which we are going to be operating. People are going to be much more on guard about what they're doing. And I don't mean on guard in a good way, you know, I mean on guard, like hesitant. So in some ways, I think it just makes our job harder. Which is unfortunate, and I feel like, you know, we have nothing to hide. We've bent over backward to do everything right, as far as I'm concerned. So it doesn't affect us directly, but it is certainly going to affect us indirectly, and I think that's very unfortunate. So whatever, nobody cares what I think about
it. If I may share one other thought that I was going to share with Ron later, because I didn't want to belabor a point that I've made in the past, and I know we got to move on, Ron, but is that my big fear here is that whether or not anything is proven out of this, I mean, this is pretty expansive, we do have two local candidates running for governor, and this is already showing up in reports in AP and Miami and Politico and other places. We have just won a federal bid to host the ACE Tour at the beginning of December, and we have built a tremendous amount of goodwill. Leon County brought something to Space Coast, to Orange County EDO and others. I actually think, and this is the kind of broken record part on my side, the public's knowledge in our county and beyond of what has transpired out here, of the change that we've made, kind of telling that story. People still don't know. I mean, a lot more people know what we're doing now than ever before. Mm-hmm. But if there is a way to tell that story more and more, or to host a meeting, or to be a part of other discussions, and just like your response to reporters, unlike 8 years ago, even before the investment was discovered, you had everything ready to go, I'm sure, right? The documents, everything, we are paramount of transparency.
Yeah.
Continuing to tell that story for economic development purposes and recruitment and other things, as others may think, oh my God, they can't get their act together, that is vitally important to our success and the community's success. So if we have opportunities, it's good for us, but it probably is extra good this year to combat what you're talking about.
That's a great idea. And if, you know, if OEB wanted to do something that was really, looks like it's going to be needed, there would be a serious sort of public relations push, you know, with this.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in my report, but...
Okay, which one's your mind? I know you do. Thank you for being here.
I want to help attend to the pork.
Okay, go do it, and thank you. Okay, go ahead. That was good.
I think the next thing was the EEP planning meeting update and discussion. Denise is going to handle this one.
Sure. So we worked with Larry, and we have scheduled the planning date for July 18th. Larry will be facilitating it. We sent out an invitation to the following people this morning. Thank you for that. At Dummy Station, it was either Lucas Lindsay or Dominic Ard, county.
Dardis, is that his name?
Is it?
It starts with a D.
Yeah, isn't it Dominic?
Yes, his last name.
Artis.
It is.
Artis. It starts with an A.
The D is not...
No. It starts with an A.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah.
Sorry. Little side note there. I have my notes on. Right. No wonder it's something funny whenever I talk to him.
Corrected context.
Mr. Dardis.
County is Kristen. We invited with City Dustin Daniels for FSU. Invited Brent Eddington with the Office of Commercialization. FSU Research is Reese Alsbury. We invited Wendy Plant with the FSU School of Entrepreneurship, OEV, Christina Paredes, Kim Williams, Steve Evans with TCC, Rick Frazier, Keith Bowers with the SBDC. With the Chamber, we've invited Jay Revel, and then we've also invited Barbara Westcott and Jason Robotham. So we are waiting to hear from them, but hopefully we'll get some good feedback from them, and hopefully they'll be available.
And just in a sentence or two, mm-hmm. What does the planning meeting come out with?
We're going to be working on talking about funding, and then also kind of creating a strategic plan moving forward with it, so that we can start making it going, and we have kind of. Yep. The milestones as we keep going.
And a big part of this is, you know, we've got other programs happening in the community, mm-hmm. and how are we gonna coordinate? How do we make sure that we're not duplicating, and that maybe one thing feeds into the next thing?
Yep.
Which groups are we going after? Are they different? Are they the same? You know, so those kind of discussions. And then, yeah, and I don't know we're going to address this in the meeting, but at some point in that strategic planning process is to look at the succession of what happens when Larry's done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think, I know we have these figures because I've heard them, but in addition to what Kristen was talking about, being very prepared to put the story out there of how many people have been through this program, that needs to be just like, yep. Just right there. How many people is that?
I want to actually say it's close to 140 now at this point, since we've had two classes going through.
We have that data, but yes.
Yes, we actually sent a lot of the surveys that we did for EEP over to OEB, and they were going to put it into an actual report for us, right, with more statistics. So we are waiting to hear back from
them. Yeah, they're going to do an actual economic impact study using their software. I'm not going to go through FSU to do that for this purpose, but... Mm-hmm. They have the ability to do that, so that'll be helpful.
So quick comment on this from commission meeting last week, or budget discussions. There was a discussion on two programs, Leon Works and one other that we are now partnering with, CareerSource. And then later in the meeting I introduced something that relates to us, but I can mention it later. But within that, and then the legislative update that came, there was discussion about this big goal that we were approved at our retreat to help X number of entrepreneurs, might be like 500 or something, in multi-years. And I took that opportunity to say, you know, EEP is coming up for discussion. We've talked about planning, and, you know, the board appreciates the county's focus on this, but there will be a planning session. OEV will be included. We've got that in the strategic plan. I just kind of mentioned that as an example. And Andy Johnson, our legislative person, was there, director, giving the presentation. I said, Andy helped us. It may be helpful to have him in the conversation. So I wanted to elevate it to say that since we're all in this together, and OEB is part of the county, and strategic plan identifies a program like this, it may be a way for the county to achieve one of those goals, you know, and instead of reinventing the wheel.
With money, or?
Well, the money starts coming after 2020.
Okay.
But for me, the strategic plan, and I've said this, I'm on a broken record, but it articulates an EEP-like program without referencing EEP.
Yeah.
That is my favorite example in there, other than the incubators. So,
and for me, it also includes JA. So.
And JA, right. So I wanted to reinforce that the county's leaning into EEP this year with backing us on legislative, that we're going into this planning, and that I really thought this was one of the ways to have a partnership with OEB and everything else. And there was a lot of nods of agreement. So at least I said that publicly. Christina, Al, Lindsay, they were all in the room. So should you want Andy Johnson in the room at this meeting or future meetings, I don't think it's necessarily planning, but for legislative requests, I've kind of teed that up. Yeah.
And so. Andy and I have, we spoke extensively during this past legislative session, so we've got, I think, a good rapport.
Well, here's my wild idea, which I would hope connects to this. You know, the majority of this money that got through the legislature this year is supposed to go through DEO.
Yeah.
On the state level. I don't know what other strictures there are on that money, but that is a lot of money. And I have wondered if, you know, DEO is not in any position to begin programs, or all they're going to be in a position to do is give out money. And they're supposed to be giving it not to private entities. They're supposed to be giving it to more government-type entities to support things like training and infrastructure. And so I don't know what our best way is to keep track of that, you know, how they think they're doing this. It might be time to meet with Sissy Proctor again and say, look, if you really want to beef up, you know, how all this happens, we're here. And it'd be nice if some of that 18, whatever it is, million dollars or billion dollars could come our way. And I don't think it's impossible. So
I think a lot of it was in the infrastructure programs. That's my understanding. But there are others. I think it's a good question, because it is, I'm not sure they know how the money is going to be implemented across the board.
They couldn't possibly have a clue.
I read it, and I have no clue what they're talking about.
So Sissy or one of the program directors, it might be very good to talk to them, maybe a month or two, but yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Ron, let's kind of put that on our list to circle back around and talk to her. And maybe even kind of put a bug in her ear, because I think they're going to be desperately trying to figure out how to do this thing right, you know.
Christina, so do we want to do that in August, September?
August, I think, sounds pretty good.
Okay.
Committees are going to start up early this year in August, so...
Okay.
There'll be a lot of activity around there.
Yep.
Our planning meeting is good in July and leading up to that. Christina and Al there's a whole lot more involvement from OEB with DEO than we've seen in the past, which is fantastic. They may know the specific directors or staff members who should be in the room. Talking to Sissy is probably great, but there may be someone else that you could connect with more quickly if she's wrapped up in committees and other things. Just thinking through that. Yeah. But I think Christina and Al, when we've walked in the room for ACE, they know, they've met individually with all the staff members in the room on other subjects, so they know all of them. Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, that makes me feel slightly hopeful. is that good on that?
Yep.
Okay. Onward.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot on number 11. I've spent most of the last 3 weeks since the board meeting working on RFP stuff. It's been reading those audit, Dave's not here to testify to this, but reading those audit RFPs was, and I'm a former auditor.
that was a lot of fun, right?
Yes, sure. It's not exciting. So basically, the direction, that, as I understand it right now, is on the Collins building, that we're going to go back to Lewis and Whitlock to get a fee to do a design and cost estimate for a core, what I call it, a core upgrade, and a white boxing of at least the eastern side of the building.
I've been having fun with this, because every private sector person I've talked to since that meeting has been like, I mean, they've actually used white box in front of me, and I'm like, see, I knew this.
It's a term.
It's just Mary Mia.
Right.
It's public sector, yeah. But yes.
Okay. So I think one of the key determinants, well, first of all, Lewis and Whitlock has not gotten back to me, and I think it may be because they're waiting for this check.
That might move things along.
And I think they're also very, very busy, which we knew that was going to be a challenge with all the stuff that they're working on.
Were you satisfied with their getting their deliverables to you?
They were kind of slow.
I hate hearing that.
Yeah, they were a little slow. But it's also at this point where, with what we need from them at this point, from a cost standpoint and getting it done, they have all the information. Right. I don't think we're talking about a big change of scope.
The next phase is they've done all the investigation. This should be a fairly simple one. But this is to get us to a permittable set of plans.
Yes.
Correct? Yeah.
I think it was to get a cost estimate, a design. Basically what we've done in the previous part, get the design, a basic design and a cost estimate to bring back to the board to say, here's what we can do with the Collins Building and approximately what it would cost, so we can decide if we're ready to move forward with that option and pay for that and fund mm-hmm. that. Now, one of the key drivers behind that is going to be the intended use, because I've already had that question when I had the initial conversation with Sean Morgan. Mm-hmm. Was okay, so what's different than what you're going to do with the incubator? So do we have to upgrade the electrical? Is it still going to be an office use? Do we have to upgrade, you know, anything with HVAC? So I mean, really, a lot of the cost is going to be in the electrical mechanical stuff, and how much we decide to do there. So,
do we have to have this next step? Y'all would know. I wasn't on the committee, or could we go to
do it?
Give us a set of plans, please.
Well,
or is that stupid because of not knowing enough?
I think that given the condition of the building, potential shortcomings and so forth, getting some information on what really is possible and what makes sense is important.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have some ideas on a basic design, and after having gone through the process with them, I think I would eliminate one step and just say, here's what I think ought to happen. You know, instead of just saying, give them a blank slate and say, go work on that, I think I'd narrow it down for them a little bit, because at the end of the day, we ended up pretty much designing what we thought it ought to look like.
But that would make me happier, just to not give them a complete
lift. Yeah. So, and I could work with Kristen and just figure out how we want that to work. I mean, one question I'm going to have is, we could phase this in, and we could move quickly, I think, on the lab portion. I've already had conversations with a couple of folks we had around the table when we were doing the Jumpstart interviews mm-hmm. of potential clients. Sensitech is one who says, I want lab space right now. I took him over there. He says, yeah, I'm ready to lease some space right now. Now, he only wants, mm-hmm. like, the 500-square-foot room, the kind of the standalone room that had the, if you recall, it had their Bucky paper machine in there and all that. I think he'd lease that right away if he could.
Well, okay, has to lease something by the time we get it done. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, there are a lot of issues that go into that. But but that's one question. I've also Gus Ray. He's interested, but he wants a year of free rent, or if you're ready in a year and I'm ready in a year, I'll lease from you, kind of stuff. And those are just the two that I've contacted so far.
But what you're getting to is that you have a pretty good sense of some of the things that need to be done.
I think if we wanted to just get the lab up and going and lease and find a few people who are interested in leasing it who don't need incubation support, we could do that. Or if we found one person that wanted to lease all of it, or if there were some minimal renovations we could do to subdivide it. You know, and make a few different labs out of the bigger space. Mm-hmm. If we could look at those options as part of this, I think it would be worth doing, which is kind of what I had in mind to start with when we were doing the other thing, but I think that kind of went out when, you know, with the whole redesign project. But if I just said, let's just do this, if this is all we're going to do, and upgrade the restrooms and make sure what we have is working in terms of electrical, mechanical, and maybe do some minimal... when we do the white box side, make sure we've got the electrical, mechanical in the core, you know, in whatever area is going to be able to be expanded later, that all that's in place, so the people coming in just put up partition walls and, you know, and finish and do their finish and they're ready to go. But I think if we can find a way to lease that lab out quicker, mm-hmm. that we should do that and going back and talk to those people who've expressed interest in the lab.
Yep.
I think we can work on it fairly quickly. I have a conference I'm leaving tomorrow, but after that it gets, this is the time, budgets pass, everything, so yes, I can commit to this with you, Ron.
Okay.
I think that there are certain things that I agree, the lab going first, remodeling that, but I think we're going to want to consider the office spaces with the lab, even if that's kind of phase two of maybe three phases of labs, you know, if since like someone wants to lease lab right now, but we could build out an office bank next to those, you know, for shared use. but there are some common things that may be less expensive I could anticipate if we did it all at once. ADA requirements, sprinkling the building, data.
Yeah.
I don't think we need as much as we were going to have before, and the partition walls and things like that aren't going to be as extensive, you know, with four different uses.
Yeah.
But I think some of that, and I wrote down before a question for you later, the reason why I asked about the permittable set is I think Lewis and Whitlock needs very clear direction. I think we can give them that to move quickly. But I think setting a target of 50% permittable documents by the time they give us an estimate or something like that, talk to Sean about what they can give us, letting them know that we want to get to a permittable set as quickly as possible after we get that estimate, probably lets us move forward really quickly.
Okay.
And so we can talk to them about that, but that's, I think, setting a target for them so they know they're working on a on something that will be developed into a permittable set of documents, barring any other unforeseen. That's how we want to frame it.
That would address some of my concerns.
Yeah,
because yes.
Oftentimes you're doing budgeting when you're around 60%. Transportation Board, we see 60% documents all the time. That's where the numbers start coming in, and then they can go back and complete it and everything.
Okay.
Does that make?
Yeah, I mean, it's just if you know, if they come back again and says no, it's still going to be, you know, $2 million.
Yeah, that's a question.
And they've gone a lot farther than they needed to. They're going to charge us. They're going to charge us their fee based on how much work they're going to have to get to 60% permittable. And we find out it's $2 million, and the board decides they don't want to go that road either. That's my concern.
I think the flip side of that is then we just have a vacant building we're paying for, and let's go knock it down. And build a multi-story building.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to do something with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the alternative is we keep it an office building and we do minimal renovations.
Yeah.
Just to partition the space better so that it's easier to lease out the space. We fix the ceiling tiles, and which could probably be done for, you know, a couple $100,000, $300,000, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so let's be clear. What I'm talking about on the main area outside of the lab space is gut the interior partition, or, you know, or not upgrade the data, the fire, the ADA that we have to just to lease the space, because no one wants to lease it the way it looks right now.
Yeah.
I am fine with considering office space or light use, or having another company have to reinforce the slab should they want to use it for something else. I thought that's kind of where we were. So I agree, and Ann's out of the room right now, but that sounds about right based on our discussion last time.
No, I think that's true. Is there a market? Is there a need for office space out there?
Yeah, that's the question. I'm thinking, like, you know, the things that we've been talking about with what FSU is interested in doing, mm-hmm. is if you were to go out and to attract a company that wants to bring a couple of folks here to do R&D.
Yeah.
Okay. They get somebody from Siemens that wants to be here. What kind of space were they going to want?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Well, certainly some office space. That might be all. And of course, in time, the IRCB building will be built, which could potentially have space for some more heavy-duty stuff. But that, you know, until we know what the need is, it's hard to understand that.
Yeah. So I agree. The core has to be updated.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. The question is going to be, do we just gut and start over on the east end? Do we just clean up what's on the west end in terms of offices?
Yeah.
Or do we just kind of clean up the whole building, make it more leasable, but still as strictly as office space with existing walls, probably all new ceiling tiles, but the existing electrical, mechanical, plumbing, all of that, just the way it is, except for, you know, the ADA stuff that we got to do with the restrooms. Those are the two primary options.
Yeah.
Kind of big picture. And I think, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is.
So this is kind of funny. I was thinking about mentioning this for the longer-term discussion on new building incubator, that an initial start would be to look at design or construction manager or something like that combo or design and estimate or something like that, that was core and shell and first floor. Because we got to get first floor numbers in order to apply for EDA money and other things like that. But we don't have to program out the upper floors. We need to have some concept of the structural capacity and things like that. But we could approach this building in the same way, updating ADA and fire and everything, but really just gut and get one side ready for us to do something else or another company to do something else and focus on the labs. That's really gets more to what you're saying.
Yep.
So I think we're saying similar thing. I think,
but without doing any major upgrades to the electrical mechanical, because there's a lot of costs in that.
Yes,
and upgrading the labs. There's a lot of costs in upgrading labs.
That money would be better spent on a new building.
Yes, and that's what we're trying to get to.
Right.
So,
and so if you have a chance to be able to lease office space there after it gets cleaned up a bit and whatnot, that's probably the best use for that building.
But it's going to be hard to lease the way it is right now.
Oh, there's no more of that. But you just, your objective changes.
Yeah.
And you're building toward cleaning it up so you lease.
Yeah, it's that change, the change in use. And that's why I went back to that question. The change in intended use is what will trigger a lot more expense.
And I think maybe that's the question we frame. And we can move off of this. And you and I could talk to, if you want, Louis Wingelock about this. But can we make it such that someone who wants a change in use would have to invest that money themselves at a later date when they build to suit?
Yeah.
I still believe there are certain core things we're going to have to do, like sprinklers and ADA and some other things. So we get that basic and we set it up where they can upgrade the electric or mechanical on the east side of the building, depending on the tenant's desire at that point. Yes, you and I are in the same place.
Yep.
We're in the same place.
And that will most likely be for larger tenants.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my laptop wants to keep turning off or something.
Well, that sounds right to me. Okay, do you have enough, Ron?
I think so. I can get
right.
At least get that conversation started, and Kristen can talk more about that.
Okay.
I can meet the week of July 4th and the week after if we want to coordinate. We'll talk about
that's
that.
Probably not the time I go on vacation.
Of course it is, yeah.
Okay. Anything else there on the other two?
No, I don't have anything more to add on the other two. The trails, I'm gonna go ahead and get with the engineers, look at the county contracts and see what I can piggyback on, and at least get that design process going, because I don't want to get to the end of the year and haven't spent any of the money that was budgeted. Of the $140,000, so.
Okay. All right, what about the park planning meeting discussion?
And this is really for you folks to give me some direction on where you want to go with this. We had asked about having to either have a special meeting in August or incorporate it into the August board meeting, some overall park planning discussion. And that's about all I got out of that. So I'm looking for more directions. What your intent was for that meeting, and do you know, what's your preference on when we hold that?
Well, I'm afraid that before I would be able to say that, I need a little more input on where anybody thinks we are given what we have on our plate. I just don't want to take on so much that we're just having some completely theoretical conversation.
Suggestion?
Yeah.
Wait till the beginning of October. We'll have Blueprint IA meeting on the 19th of September, which may or may not have more information from OED. We're getting a little closer on cluster mapping and incubator information from them. That will help us. We may be able to work through some information on Collins Building at that point, kind of see where the funding is. And we could probably, my hope would be, gather more information. And we can talk about this later, but on the new concept, the incubator building by that point, because I'm with you, more meat on the bone.
Ready.
Yeah, but Project Campus is coming in for at Landing, so there'll be other things that we can have in the public space and talking about different things. I think it's important, but IA, the blueprint, or CRTPA, which now I'm looking at, is actually on the same day. That's really funny. I'm not supposed to, on the 19th of September. The roads, other things like that, all those things we may have more information on. So,
Much more sense.
Yeah. So, with
so you're
the board
saying
meeting,
October.
Yeah. With the board, and it'd be a new slate of officers, mm-hmm. new executive, all that. So we could do it with the board meeting, or we could do a different meeting. Does that feels a little better for you, Ron?
Do I look like I'm objecting?
Look, that smile. Couldn't paint you with a smile on the record.
Things become clear.
Yes.
No. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
I don't have anything additional. So, Ron? Any? Or no?
Denise.
No, Denise.
Me. Okay.
Hang on. Let me get that.
The survey?
Hopefully my computer doesn't decide to go to sleep again.
I have at least the highlights. Okay. Going?
There you go.
All right. So, I went through all the Tech Grant survey results, and they were favorable, pretty much all of them. Minor suggestions, but one thing that was really interesting is that there were 71% of people who attended for the first time versus others, so I think that was really interesting. And then going down...
How many responses did you get? Sorry.
I got, I think, around 70.
Damn.
So
that's a good response rate,
yeah.
too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was good. I know a lot of it was by invitation, but... It really was a good one. And about 74%, I want to say, have actually going down. You go down. A lot of them are likely to attend in the future and also recommend the event to others. So I think that's really great.
Yep.
And then another thing down here is 35% are planning to apply for the tech grant next year. So what I can do is I can send the attendees the list saying the applications are now available, which will be the first thing that I do. So
that's great.
Yes. Yep. And then some of the bigger complaints that were noted was the sound. So just next year we'll be more conscious of it being too loud versus being too small, but that's okay.
Really?
Yeah, it actually was very...
It was.
And I think what happened was they were scrambling. I don't think they ever got to do a true sound check.
No, they didn't.
Because we were having troubles with Goodwood's video this time.
Yeah.
So the sound guys actually went out, got another cable, and replaced it. So that's where I guess what happened.
Mm-hmm. And then also the lack of actual tigers and former notable people, which was an interesting comment.
The lack of actual what?
Like IBM executives and notable people.
Investors.
Yes. But Ricardo sent us a list of
that
people.
That's the kind of tigers.
Yeah. But Ricardo sent us a list of, I believe they're part of Visage or something like that. They're on a committee. Some of them include Eric Sharkey, Rob Atkinson, Laura Johnson, Matthew Shanley, some more notable entrepreneurs that are in Tallahassee. So I think I'm going to make a list and reach out to them directly next year so that they know that the event is going on, just to kind of be different.
Because Ricardo made the comment that here he's part of this big group of executives, and none of them knew about the tech, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to make sure they did.
And then, so part of that question also is, are there other groups that we're missing that we need to get to? Mm-hmm. Other ways we need to sort of spread the word? But.
Yeah.
So, just a little side note here. I think having investors in the room is good. It is to see those companies particularly, but... It's a tight event. You all did, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great job, but it's programmed minute to minute on a Wednesday, Thursday night, whatever, Wednesday night. So you have an alumni group now or something like that, and this somebody mentioned this morning that, getting people to participate when they know that they've got tigers in the room or mm-hmm. others is, a good thing, either before the event as part of their training. Being at a cocktail event with board members, electeds, the tigers, whatever, that could be an option to kind of separate it, and or a pre at a pre-event or post-event or something like that. Just a thought. Being in the room is great, but to actually invest in the companies, maybe they need to see them first, and then there's a post-event.
Some kind of VIP event.
There's a post-event cocktail hour or something for the past 3 years award winners or something. I don't know.
Let's get Denise oxygen to get past that.
Just a thought.
I sort of have to get Denise oxygen to make it to the post event.
Oh, yeah. Right. She's going to book her vacation right after. Right? Yeah.
Oh, I'm going now.
Is this your big internet?
Yes.
Yes, you're about to leave. That's awesome. Side note, I saw Denise doing a flower arranging class, which I loved at Whole Foods. That was really fun. Very relaxing.
That's great. My mom made me go.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know, I just want to toss that out there.
That's
that I think something else, even if it was a couple months, whatever, that might be a way to engage those investors with another event with us too.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also saw, I think, both Ricardo and Steve Evans came up to me after the event and said, "This is fantastic, but you need more money." Like bigger, bigger awards. I said, "Get out your checkbook. You're happy to get more money." So, but anyway, that I thought was a good.
We need to get the bankers on the list. I was very interested to see when we had the thing with Dunn that when the medical lady made her pitch, the people whose business it is to invest money were very interested. I don't know if anything came of it, but that's hardly even the point.
Yeah.
It sounds like, I mean, they really, y'all were digging in with her. I thought it was fascinating that Dave and Steve didn't sit down with her right after elevator pitch. They sat down with her a month later.
After
the Dunn's visit.
Yeah.
And it was really reinforcing things. Maybe that goes to that point of a month or two later.
Mm-hmm.
That
these are,
and it wouldn't be bad for us either.
No.
That's a good
thing. As long as we have funding.
Vacation.
Yeah.
Funding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dave and Steve should be top of the list for sponsors.
Yes.
Yes.
And, well, Ricardo's already sponsored.
Yes, yeah, since the chair is not in the room.
Yes.
Future chair, sorry. Did I say that?
And just some other suggestions that they had. Was live streaming the event and then also being told about the sale to previous winners. I had a couple people comment about live streaming. I'm not sure if it would be helpful. We kind of have discussed it internally, kind of whether we should or should not do it. So I think that might be something to discuss right before the event. I mean, there's easy ways to do it with Facebook, different things, but we'd have to have somebody managing it, and we're all usually pretty busy during the event, so
that and you know, do you want to dilute the event by being able to just flip on the TV and not come, you know, that sort of stuff. So we'll talk about more of that later.
All right, so that's what I have for Tech Grant. For Tech Topics for the rest of the year, I have the August one scheduled for August 30th. It'll be from 11:30 until 1. And then I have November 15th will be our e-month. I've already scheduled us in the Excel sheet that we have with all the other partners for e-month. So we are scheduled for that Wednesday on November 15th. And they're both being hosted in the CAPS conference room. So there's that. Startup weekend, we are actually already starting meetings. Tomorrow is our first one, so I will be able to report on that later. Besides that, I really, Tallahassee Science Festival, I'm just going along when I can. People aren't, they're not doing it at the speed of light, so I'm just waiting for them on things to do stuff so I can move forward. One thing I am doing is I had a meeting with Heather Cave last week. I was going to be putting together a community book of a directory of all the organizations within the park, what they do, and then also being able to say what key industries they're kind of targeting. I'm separating into two different things where I'm going to be creating a directory of the organizations, and then I'm also going to have kind of an 8-page little booklet about Innovation Park in Tallahassee and how kind of we connect to the community. So I think that'll be great. I want to have all that done for the ACE tour so that we can actually hand that out and actually have more of a press kit for it.
Fantastic. Good idea.
Yes.
Has Christina reached out to you yet about ACE directly?
No.
Okay. conference call that I listened into last Wednesday, she said the next 3 weeks they finally have the go-ahead to reach out to partners. So they will start contacting FSU, the departments, Innovation Park, others. Lots of ideas have been floated in the discussions on the tour, but they've now locked in, and we will be the final day, which is huge for us, which is when all the dignitaries come in. We have the closing session. They were going to do a big loop, so we'd be in the middle. They will now conclude the week Friday in Tallahassee. So perfect. This is pretty big.
Yeah.
So I think everybody, you should hear from her soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Very cool. All right.
And then the last thing I have is I am still increasing social media. I've increased quite a bit. Twitter, we have 30 new followers since the Board of Governors meeting. I have 3 new on Facebook, 6 new on Instagram, and 1 new on LinkedIn. So we are slowly but surely going forward, and that's without any funding. So hopefully, eventually, we'll be able to put some funding into sponsorships and stuff, and being able to push that even more.
Fantastic.
And that's it for me.
All right. Ron, I was hoping to get out of here 2 minutes before 5, so.
I'm on the clock, so
you can accommodate
yes.
that, I would appreciate it.
Something, he's going to put his report first.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I really don't have that much more. The FSU anthropology lease, they're moving forward with construction. Getting that space ready to go. I understand it's been, I haven't been over there lately, but I understand it's been, all the carpet's been removed and they're painting and getting all the space ready, so they'll be ready to go August 1st.
I'm amazed at the number of comments I got when we mentioned that in our newsletter. I didn't know where they were going, this is awesome. And people think about Innovation Park because of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Denise has a press release ready. She's been working with anthropology.
Oh, that's great.
Yep.
And is going to run it by FSU, make sure we're all on the same page.
Exactly.
And then we're going to time that to release probably sometime in July, just before the Occupy. So
anything that could involve pictures would be great, too.
Yes. Well, we've got to wait for them to get the carpet and stuff. Though.
Yeah. It could be a picture of a something, you know.
I mean, it could be good to have, if they have pictures with partnerships with SEAC and what they've done with the projects and stuff, it'd be really good to put
them
together.
And that's kind of the focus of the press releases, that partnership with SEAC. So,
and then SEAC has pictures from their
events. I'm sure.
And
And they are replacing all the carpet and going in with this LVT and stuff. And I think I might have mentioned that before, but
what's an LVT?
Luxury vinyl tile.
Oh, okay.
It's just weird. They're doing it backwards from the way I would have expected. The LVT is going in the offices and the carpet's going out in the more in the common areas. It has to do with the nature of what they do. So, and FSU's paying for all of it, so we're
Not bad.
Guys are mad.
Yeah, that's right. And then just a reminder for those in the room who have it, Kristen, the ethics disclosure due by July 3rd.
Financial.
Have you done yours?
I will be completing my Form 6 tonight.
I do
far more than Form 1,
I know
and
you
that
do.
Checks the box for Form for here as well.
Yes.
That's what I've been told in the past. I do not do Form 1 as long as I do Form 6.
I wasn't applying Form 1, but yes.
Yeah, I've been a little busy.
There's a few other. You're not alone, but our numbers are actually pretty good. I think we're down to 5.
Yeah, no.
Especially since I got mine in last week. But
yeah, no, my Form 6 is it will be complete tonight and arrives tomorrow before I leave town.
Mine takes about 12 minutes.
Yes.
And then we got an interesting records request today. I don't know
public records.
Public records request. I don't know if it has anything to do with. Everything else is going on, but it's from a Boca Raton public information organization that wants to know basically our employees and how much we're paying them. So it's called American Transparency, and their website is openthebooks.com. They have a lot of public information on that. So I forwarded that to Melissa. She's taking a look at it, make sure complying is not overly challenging, I don't think. It's just, they want us to create a record, number one, which they're not required to do, but it might actually be easier to satisfy their request by creating the spreadsheet of 3 employees and their information.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to make sure that it complies with statute in terms of what we're allowed to disclose related
mm-hmm.
to employees.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are some exceptions, but I don't think we meet any of the exceptions because usually has to do with public safety officers and you know, DOC and all that stuff. So,
well, that's interesting.
So anyway, I think I did a quick Google search, and it looks like that's just what they do. They do it across the country.
I was about to say, I think this is one of those groups that does this often.
Yes.
And particularly, yeah, public employees, tax, whatever. Yeah.
So they're an aggregator.
But we don't have tax dollars. That's what's interesting.
I was just about to say, Denise, I wonder if they're not on a fishing trip. Might be interesting to ask your colleagues in the Florida Research Park group if any others were contacted by the same, because they might be looking at research parks as a whole right now or something like that. Some may get tax dollars.
I just wondered if it had anything to do with the news story.
I would doubt it, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Just coincidental. But
yeah.
Project Campus, you had mentioned something about coming in for a landing. I have not heard anything definitive. I did hear that there was some issue with IA's approval versus the city and county approving separately. That DEO was not accepting IA's approval versus having each of those approve them separately. That's what I was told by Al. I'm surprised that you haven't heard that.
Well, no, but that may explain the last-minute agenda addition that we got last Tuesday of Project Campus, QTI, and other things.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, we got it the day of the commission meeting last Tuesday, the 20th, and approved it that day.
Oh, okay.
So, and City Commission, I don't think they met last week. They may be meeting this week, but that may be the holdup if they're waiting on City. But the county did approve it last week, and that was curious to me.
Okay. So anyway, I haven't had an update since I spoke to Christina last week. So we don't know anything at this point. As far as I know, there's no decision's been made. Obviously, until it's all approved, they couldn't announce a decision anyway. And last but not least, the OEV is convening the EVCC, of which we are a participant, and I've explained both Ann and Kristen that they were nice enough to schedule that at the exact same time as our board meeting in August, which has four of our members, including me, invited to that meeting. So we will scramble to figure out. I've asked for if there's anything to do. I doubt they will, considering they're inviting 36 people. I'll follow up tomorrow. We may have to reschedule the August board meeting. I hate to do that. Just for the reason Dave just mentioned.
Yeah.
Everybody makes their plans, but it's kind of an important meeting if you'd like to have officers elected to replace you before October 1.
What time is the meeting? I don't remember.
It's 11. Our meeting?
No, theirs
is 11:30 to 1:30.
Yeah,
ours
class.
Is 11 to 1:30.
Okay. Since we can't talk about this, we may have said the same thing to Ron, because he's good about not telling us what we say. But I wondered between that and summer travel, if we were going to hit quorum or enough people in the room for the budget and everything else, even if Ron chooses to skip the EVCC, you know, others may not. I don't know.
It's a problem for sure.
Because, I mean, if you wanted to do it the same day, you could do it early.
That's what I was thinking, is to try to do it the same day. That's a tough go.
It'd have to be early, probably like in order for everybody to get over there by 11:30. Or you could do it later. You could do it after.
I would not be inclined to do it after, just because I don't know if people would show up. But I guess I don't know that for before either.
Well, what we could do is we could send out a doodle poll for both before and after, just see what kind of response we get.
Right.
And I might just go ahead and do that.
Why don't you do that, and then we'll have that
press harder.
Yeah.
And see what their conclusion. And then if I can at least go back to them and say, okay, we've figured out a way to reschedule this before they try to do anything
and
else.
And I assume that their meeting is downtown somewhere? We don't know.
TBD, I think. I don't think they've determined yet.
I'm not all that involved.
To be determined.
Oh, okay.
That new location.
Yeah, TBD. The old TBD.
Have you ever been there? actually, it actually says on here, location, TV, TV right. Determined.
Somebody is
going to
name their building that. Yeah. The initials are going to be TBD sometime. And, yeah. Perfect.
Actually, my, just a quick joke. My mother had owned a tavern, and she wanted to rename the tavern to He's Not Here. So if she answered the phone, she could just say, He's Not Here.
I love it.
I think I've heard that before.
That's all I have.
I don't want to shortchange anybody else who has questions about anything.
The only other thing I was going to mention, I can do it in a second, is that hosted a stakeholders forum 5 years ago, come November, on entrepreneurs. And first time we all did a gap analysis and inventory. It spawned Domi, EEP, other things. So introduced an idea at the County Commission last week based on a couple other things that were said to do a 5-year update, state of the start of the community. Huh. Susan Fiorito has suggested that she would partner with the county on that. I think the park owners would be good to be involved, but staff's going to start working on that, so you may get a call. Okay. I'm not sure.
That's perfect. I was on a panel discussion.
Yes, you were. TCC Center last week.
TCC.
Okay. Rick and I have talked about
it.
Independent ideas, but they dovetail perfectly.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to preempt you, but this was the yeah. conversation, right?
Well, I actually made the point of about what you had done 5 years ago.
Nice.
And because others were saying it started 3 years ago, and I said, no, that was 5 years ago.
Thank you very much.
And Kristen started it. And I said it was time for us to do a gap analysis and see where we're at now and let organization, because my big thing is I think organizations need to do this more organically. Yeah. I don't know that we need to have some massive master plan coordinating all the developments of entrepreneurial stuff. I think those who are good at doing certain things are going to go do certain things if they identify a need for those things to be done. And that was my biggest point to the whole thing.
Which is funny because that's exactly what Startup Communities and Bradfell argues and what Boulder Trip did.
That wasn't coincidence that I said that.
Yeah, no.
I quoted Bradfell 3 times in the meeting. So.
You're good. You're good like that, Ron.
All right.
Yes.
Well, great. Thank you all.
Thank you all. 2 minutes after.